Here's what I need you to do. Whatever platform you listen to this show on, go leave a rating and review of the show. Right now, leave a 5-star rating and review the show. Tell people what you think about it. Tell people the value you're getting. You take care of that business. I'm going to get into this episode, and I'll meet you in the middle. Let's do it.
Stayolday.com.
Work on your game.
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 Approaching the game aggressively, with that aggression, with that confidence to dominate a game.
Dre Baldwin, DreAllDay.com.
Work on your game.
Doing this podcast is great, but I like live events even better. So I'm doing a live event this Thursday. Yes, this Thursday, August 15th, 2019. The good news for all of you is, no matter where you are, it's going to be online so everyone can attend. This event is targeted specifically to all salespeople, freelancers, entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, anyone who has the opportunity to set your own price. Would you like to increase your fees, increase the prices that you're getting, stop negotiating on price, stop lowering your price because you're dealing with people who won't pay you or don't have the money, or stop thinking that you're not worth charging more fees and stop presenting yourself that way so you can actually charge more and actually get it? That's what I'm going to be talking about. I'm going to teach you a new method for increasing your consulting and freelancing fees by 220% or more. And you don't need to become famous. You don't need to put out 1,000 episodes of a podcast, and you don't need to write a best-selling book. That is going to be this Thursday online. It is a completely free event done 100% by me, Dre Baldwin. All I need you to do is go to workonmygame.com/live, L-I-V-E, workonmygame.com/live. And you can register for this free online training happening this Thursday, August the 15th. Once again, that is workonmygame.com/live, L-I-V-E, for a live event happening online. You don't need to travel. You don't need a plane ticket. You don't need to get a hotel room. All you need to do is turn on your computer, and you will be live with me on this Thursday, August the 15th, 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. That is workonmygame.com/live. Be there. Wouldn't it be great to be so personally driven that you inspired other people to action even when you weren't that motivated on your own? You can do so by reading my book, The Mirror of Motivation. I've already purchased a bunch of copies and I'm going to give away for free to you, shipping them worldwide. All I need you to do is go to workonmygame.com/motivation and tell me where to ship the book. Again, that's my book, The Mirror of Motivation, The Self-Guide to Self-Discipline. I am shipping free physical copies worldwide. I paid for the book already. You take care of the shipping. Tell me where to ship it. Go to workonmygame.com/motivation. Tell us where to send your book, and I'm sending you one now. Available while supplies last. That's workonmygame.com/motivation. You are now tuned in to the show where you learn the discipline to show up day after day to do the work, the confidence to put yourself out there boldly and authentically, and the mental toughness to continue showing up, doing the work, putting yourself out there, even when the success you've expected to achieve is yet to be achieved. And on top of all this, you get a huge dose of personal initiative. This is the go-getter energy that moves you to make things happen instead of waiting for things to happen. Putting all this together, you get the mindset, the method, the podcast, the book, known as Work On Your Game. My name is Dre Baldwin, also known as Dre All Day. Welcome to the show. Today's topic is how to do stuff that you really don't want to do. How can you enforce some discipline upon yourself when you really don't feel like being disciplined? You really don't feel like pushing yourself to do the thing. You're in the midst of that third day feeling that we've been talking about, that time when it is not new anymore. There's nothing really exciting about it, but it still has to get done. And it's your job to get it done. Or maybe it doesn't have to get done right now, but you know it should get done. Any of you know what I'm talking about there? How do you push yourself to actually make that thing happen? And thinking of this subject, I thought of a situation once where I was walking this little Pomeranian dog. I was watching these dogs, and there was this little Pomeranian dog that didn't really want to walk. This dog was used to going outside and, you know, doing his business outside, but it wasn't used to being actually walked on a leash. So I had the dog on a leash. I've never been a fan of having a dog not on a leash unless that dog is very... The dog had to be disciplined themselves to, you know, not go running crazy. And this is a little tiny dog. I didn't want to take it without the leash. So I was going to take the dog for a walk around the block. But the dog wasn't used to being walked on a leash, this little Pomeranian, so it wasn't going to walk. And the person who knew this dog really well said to me, listen, this dog's not used to being on a leash. If you just let them outside, they'll go do their business and they'll come back inside. It's fine. But I said, no, forget that. I'm going to walk this dog. But the dog didn't really want to walk. So I had a leash on it and it just sat there in one spot. And any of you who's ever walked the dog and you try to move. And then, of course, the leash gets to his end and the dog doesn't want to move. Then the dog can kind of ground itself in one spot and resist you. Now, if you pull strong enough, depending on what breed of dog you have and how strong you are, you can probably overpower the dog. And I think any of us could overpower a little 15-pound Pomeranian. But this dog was trying its hardest to not move. And at first, I was thinking, oh, I might break this dog and I might hurt the dog if I pull too hard. So let me just try to coax the dog into walking. The dog didn't want to walk. I tried to talk it into walking. All right, that didn't work. Dog wasn't really listening. I tried to just ease into walking. That didn't work either. And my first thought after I tried the few techniques that I had in my bag of dog walking skills and it wasn't working, I figured to myself, all right, forget it. I'll just go back in the house. The dog doesn't want to be walked. It's not going to be walked. But then I had another thought. And I thought to myself, you know what? Fuck that. I can't let a damn 15-pound Pomeranian dog overpower my decision-making. I decided that I'm going to take this dog for a walk. So this dog is going to have two choices at this point. Once I made this decision, this dog has two choices. A, is going to get walked on this leash. Or B, is going to be a dead Pomeranian with a broken neck. It's going to be one or the other. So then I decided once again to start walking. And this time I said to myself, I'm not even going to turn around to see if the Pomeranian agrees with my idea of walking it. I'm just going to keep walking. So either it's going to get dragged down the street or it's going to start walking on this leash. So I just started walking, decided I wasn't even going to turn around to see what was going on. And what do you know? The Pomeranian started walking. By the time I got to the corner of the street that I was walking on, it was walking as if it was a normal thing for it. So that story is not necessarily directly what we're talking about here, because we're talking about pushing ourselves to do what we need to do, not pushing another person. But the same energy that I needed to tap into and that you or anyone else would tap into to decide, you know what, this little dog is not going to tell me what the program is. I'm going to tell the dog what the program is. The same energy that caused me to make that decision is the same energy that can lead you to making the decisions that I'm going to talk about here in today's episode. No matter how disciplined any of us is, nobody always feels like doing everything that's on our plate or that's on our agenda. Right? No one always feels like it. I don't care how much success, how fun it looks from the outside looking in, how easy it may appear to be to someone who doesn't have to do the work. The work is always easy when somebody else is doing it, right? Today, I'm going to help you by offering some ideas for what you can do when you're facing the strong resistance, internal resistance, not the external resistance like from a dog, but internal resistance from yourself to an action that you know that you need to be taking right now. Point number one, today's topic, once again, is how to do stuff that you really don't want to do. Here's your first option. Don't do it. Simple enough. Or just don't do it. And I'm being serious here. This is not tongue in cheek. Maybe you don't even need to be doing the thing that you're trying to push yourself into doing. Maybe you're forcing yourself into doing something that if you didn't do it, it wouldn't really matter. But you're so conditioned to doing it that you're thinking that you have to do it. I talk to so many people, or I hear from so many people who say things like this. Well, I have to do this thing, or I have to do that thing, or I have to do all these things before I can do this, or in order to do this, or in order for this to be true. And a lot of times the things that we say we have to do, we don't even have to do them. This is basically the 80-20 rule in effect, and everyone understands Pareto's principle, also known as the 80-20 rule, which is 80% of the outputs in any situation are coming from only 20% of the inputs. In other words, and this applies across all areas of your life, 80% of the gains, those of you who lift weights, 80% of your weightlifting gains and your muscle gains and your strength gains are coming from 20% of the exercises that you're doing. That means 80% of the time that you're spending in the gym is only producing 20% of the results. And if you were to figure out what's what and what goes into what category, you could get a whole lot of the same results in much less time. And time being the most valuable thing you have, this would be very important. Those of you who run businesses, 80% of your revenue is coming from 20% of your products and services. And you probably already know what those 20% are, but those other 80% that are producing only 20% of the revenue. Wait, did I say that right? Yeah, I said it right. The other 80% of your products and services that are producing only 20% of the revenue, the only reason you keep those products and services around is because they are sacred cows in your mind that you refuse to sacrifice. And you already know what I'm talking about. I don't even have to go too deep on this one, but I am going to go deep on this one in a future episode of the show. Now that I'm saying it, I'm thinking about it right now. The rest of you, 80% of the people that you know, and this is for everybody. I mean, everything I'm saying here could apply to everybody. 80% of the, let me say this a different way. 20% of the people that you know are producing 80% of the relationship value that you have. In other words, we all like to talk about how relationships can help us do things and get our feet into doors and help us create certain opportunities that we couldn't create for ourselves. And if you don't talk about that, then understand it's real in your life, whether you recognize it or not. Only 20% of the people that you know are actually producing 80% of that relationship value. In other words, 80% of the people that you know are completely fucking useless to you. You just know them to know them. All right, they're not bringing anything to the table. They never will bring anything to the table. The only thing they do bring to the table are their open hands to take from you. And 80% of the people that you know fit into this category. If I'm wrong, somebody let me know. All right, I'm absolutely right now. And right now you're thinking of somebody that you just spoke to within the last 72 hours who fits into that 80% group. They're part of that 80% who don't bring anything to the table in your life. Every time you deal with them, they're trying to get something out of you. But you keep them around because you're thinking to yourself, this is your mental sacred cow. You know what? Maybe one day this person will be worth something. Maybe one day this person will bring something to the table. Maybe one day this person will become somebody who's worth knowing. I'm here to give you a news flash. No, they won't. But again, that's not the topic that we're talking about here today. But that's the 80-20 rule, just in case any of you weren't aware of it. Perhaps this thing, and back to our first point here, which is you find something you really don't want to do, your first option is just not do it. Perhaps you're trying to force yourself into doing something that you could delegate to somebody else. Maybe you could outsource this to someone or something else. For example, I was looking at all the episodes that I had of this podcast, and I'm thinking to myself, I want to get a lot of this stuff into written format. How can I do it? Well, one way is I could listen to the whole episode and just write down everything that I said, but damn, that would be a very time-consuming job. Even though I'm writing down my own words, that would take me half the day at minimum to just write everything down, let alone organize it and make sense of it. How about, instead of doing that, how about I just hire somebody who's a transcriptionist? They can transcribe it and I'll just pay them for it. So I'm delegating / outsourcing. We'll just call delegating that work to somebody else to do the job. But then once the transcriptionist started working, I looked at their work and I looked at the amount of time it was taking. I said, there has to be a better way than this. They're still taking way too long to get this done. It wasn't a good ROI. I didn't like the bang for my buck that I was getting. So I started looking even deeper and I found something even better. That there are transcription services, there are software, or what they call SaaS, software as a service. So a software that actually works as a service, in that all I had to do is upload a file of anything where I'm talking, whether that be a YouTube video, Instagram story video, or a podcast episode audio, and the service itself, the software, transcribes what I'm saying and tells me everything that I said. Now, of course, is it going to be 1,000% accurate? No, you still got to go through it and edit it. Maybe you can hire somebody for that. Maybe you do it yourself. Maybe you don't do anything. Maybe you just leave it raw as it is, whatever way you want to do it. But I realized I could outsource that work, so I don't have to do it myself. So that was something that I wanted done. I really didn't want to do it. I figured, let me delegate it, maybe not delegate it, maybe outsource it. So it doesn't mean when I say don't do it, the thing that you really don't want to do, maybe it's something that somebody else could do or something else could do in your stead and you don't have to do it yourself. Perhaps also the thing that you're trying to force yourself to do, if you 80-20 your life and your work and your everything else, maybe this thing that you're trying to force yourself to do is not even contributing to your results in a meaningful way, in any way whatsoever, maybe. You're trying to force yourself into doing something. Can you draw a direct line from this thing that you're trying to move yourself to do into any tangible results that exist in your life? Now, while that sounds like it would be an easy answer, if you really look at it, you may find that there is no answer, that there isn't any way that this thing is contributing at all, but you're doing it anyway. Now, that may be telling you something that the fact that you don't want to do it may be telling you something. Because if we think about it, you think about it, anything in your life that's really producing results from you, look at the three most important areas of your life, whatever they may be. Anything that is producing results for you in those areas, you're usually willing, able, and happy to do those things because you know that they're producing results for you. You know that they're making you better. You know that they are getting you closer to where you want to be, or at least producing more of the results that you already have. Usually we're looking forward to those things. We usually don't dread the things that are producing results for us. So if you're dreading something, maybe it's giving you a hint that this is not producing any result for you, and that's probably why you don't want to do it. See, more discipline may not be the answer to every question. Even though today's topic is about discipline and it is related to the third day, it may not be that you just need to be more disciplined, in order to get things done. Maybe that's not always the answer. Maybe you're trying to do something that just doesn't need to be done. Now, that's a discipline as well. Knowing what to get rid of, knowing who to get rid of, knowing what to stop doing, knowing what to start doing, knowing what to do less of, what to do more of, those are disciplines as well. And they require some insight. They require you to ask yourself some questions that may have never occurred to you, some questions that maybe have always occurred to you, but you've been afraid to ask because you're afraid of the answers that you're going to get, and thusly afraid of the actions you may be forced to take as a result of those answers, such as, what value is this person bringing to my life? The answer could be none. The action would be, let me cut this person off. And you may be afraid of doing that because you're worried about pissing that person off. So you see how insight is not just a matter of you being smarter or somebody providing you the questions. It's also you just being willing to face those questions because the answers may be very uncomfortable for you. So that is the first option, is to just not do the thing because you don't need to be doing it. You don't want to be doing it. It's not doing anything for you anyway. Point number two. Today's topic is how to do stuff that you really don't want to do. Just start doing the thing. Let's say it is something that you do have to do. Let's say, for example, you had to go to the gym. All right, you can't delegate going to the gym. You can't hire somebody else to do your push-ups for you, as the saying goes. It is something that is producing value in your life, or at least if you started doing it, it will produce value in your life. You will feel better. You look better. You live longer. You be in better shape. You sleep better. People would probably respond to you better because your energy would be up. Your significant other would look at you differently because you look better. All of these things would help you if you started working out. And you can't give somebody else a job. And in the 80-20 analysis, it matters, right? So how about you just start doing maybe 5 to 10% of the task? So whatever the thing is, you realize you have to do it. Just start by doing 5 to 10% of whatever it is. No more than that. And it's often, see, the thing is often not doing a certain task that we dread. It's the thought of doing it that brings on the resistance. It's not the doing itself. It's the thinking about it that makes you resist. Anyone who's listening to this who you know you need to work out and exercise and get in shape, whatever way you exercise, whether that's you have a gym membership, you go to CrossFit, you paid some trainer, some local trainer who has an independent thing to go to their classes, whether you ride your bike, you go for a 2-mile walk every day, whatever your form of exercise is, you do something at home, watching a YouTube video. It's not doing the thing that you dread. Is thinking about doing it that bothers you. When you think about it, oh man, I got to go to the park and I'm going to be sweating and it's going to be hard and I know I'm not going to be able to keep up with everybody else and I know I'm going to be tired as hell when this is over and I know I'm going to be sore tomorrow morning. Those are the things that bring on the resistance. It's just thinking about it that brings on the resistance. Actually doing it is not that terrible. And it's the same thing that I said about when I talk about people wanting, seeking to avoid conflict or any confrontation that could lead to conflict. It's not the conflict itself that bothers people. It's the emotions that go around the conflict. Even just thinking about or even approaching a possible confrontation is what bothers people. And that's why a lot of people avoid anything that could lead to conflict or confrontation, which leads to a whole host of other problems in life. So the point that I'm making here, we're still on point number two, is the thought of doing it that causes resistance. And we supply more info for, we are going to supply more information for why it's a good idea. This is what our minds do. Anytime we start to resist anything, our minds start giving us more reasons for why it's a good idea to resist. Why is it a good idea to not go to the gym? Why is it a good idea to not update our website? Why is it a good idea to not get that inbox down to zero finally? So just start This is the way that you can defeat that, is to just start swinging the momentum in the other direction by doing 5 to 10% of whatever the job is and then stop. That's it. And often this tiny amount of momentum that you create in the direction of the thing, that can be enough to get you started and allow you to get more done. You'd be blown away by what you're capable of if you were just able to create a little tiny bit of momentum in the direction in which you actually want to go. Your mind and your body and your spirit will take over. Why? Because it follows the leader. Whatever you decide to do to create the momentum in that direction, you're going to keep doing that same thing. This is the law of inertia in action. Any object in whatever state that is in will remain in that state unless acted upon by some outside force. So if you're in the state of inertia, well, we're always in a state of inertia. So if you're in the state of not doing the thing, but you create just a little bit of momentum, acting on that, changing the state of that yourself and say, all right, I'm going to do 5% of this thing. Now you feel like going to 10. Then you feel like going to 20. Then you're going to 50. Then you're going to 75. And before you know it, you've completely done it. But only thing you're committing to is 5 to 10%. That's it. That's all your commitment. This tiny amount can get you started and you're going to start getting more done. So for example, let's say you dread going to the gym and exercising. Here's your 5, 10%. Lay out your clothes the night before. Put your sneakers next to your bed with the clean socks, the workout gear, everything, the keys laid out, everything that you need. If you were actually going to go to the gym, lay out everything exactly as it needs to be for the next morning before you go to bed at night. That's all you got to do. Don't even commit to going to the gym. Don't commit to going to class. Don't commit to even putting the clothes on. Just commit to laying them out. That's all I want you to do. That 5 to 10% is often all the momentum you need. And before you know it, you're going to be in the gym. And then you're going to want to do it again and again and again. Why? Because you got inertia working in your favor now instead of working against you. Let's say you want to record some videos and you decide this is something that you need to do. You can't outsource it. You can't delegate it. It will help you in the long run. But you just don't feel like recording any videos because you have resistance. You think you look dumb on camera. You don't like the way you sound. Whatever reasons you have, whatever excuses you have for not doing it. Okay. How can you get started? All I want you to do, set up your cameras and set up your lighting. If you even have lighting that you're setting up. Or if you're doing it outside, you may not even need any lighting. Just set up your camera. That's all I want you to do. Meaning when you leave the house, if you know you need a selfie stick or a tripod or a microphone in order to record your videos, pack that with you as if you're going to record some videos, even if you don't want to record any videos. That's all I want you. Just bring it with you as if you might use it, and then you're going to find yourself using it. And it'll become a habit. Don't commit to anything more. Don't commit to completing the action or doing it every day for the next 90 days or none of that. Just set it up. The first 5-10% of the action, and you're going to let momentum, inertia, the law of inertia take over for you. And that law is a law. Again, it's not a theory. It's not an opinion. It's a law. As soon as you get it working in your favor, the laws will continue to be the laws, and they'll work for you just like they work for everyone else. Or they'll work against you, keep working against you the way they've been working against you to this point. Point number three. Today's topic is how to do things that you really don't want to do. Now, here's where you can, this third option is for you to motivate yourself, okay? For those of you who work off motivation, or maybe you don't think you do, but maybe this will work for you. That's why I'm giving you these options. All right, you choose what works for you, maybe all three. Imagine that there's a camera following you around in your life. There's a camera crew following you through everything that you do. And everybody who's watching that camera on the other end of that lens, they know the situation of what's happening in your life. They know what you're scheduled to be doing. They know what you're supposed to be doing, what you told yourself you're supposed to be doing. They know. Millions of people are watching and they know this. So how would you feel about not doing your job or sticking to your commitment now that you have this audience of people watching you not do what you said you were going to do? Watching you not follow through on your commitments. Watching you not do the thing that you know would help your life. Watching you not do the thing that you know would help your business. Here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, as much as on this show that I always emphasize that we bring everything back to the individual, that we're always focusing on what can we do ourselves. While somebody else may be dumb, somebody else may have messed up, it may not be our fault, whatever the situation is, we always bring things back to ourselves because we're the only thing that we can control 100% at all times. Many of us, even though that is true, many of us will quit on ourselves without a second thought. We will completely give up on ourselves on something that we told ourselves we would do that nobody else knows about, something that's just between me, myself, and I. We'll give up on that very quickly when it's just us. And we've all done it at one time or another. You don't have to admit it. You don't have to talk about it. But things change for us as human beings when we know we're being watched. Things change when we know we will have to deal with some blowback, maybe some backlash from other people, the general public, whether it's people we know, people we don't know, coming from our actions. We conduct ourselves differently when we know that the public is going to know about what we're doing. Or at least when we're sure that the public's going to know about it. Maybe we do something we don't think the public's going to know, but then they find out. I'm talking about something that we know for sure from the beginning that the public will know exactly what we're doing. We conduct ourselves a little bit differently. Why? Because human beings are social creatures. And these days, listen, we have all this social media. Anybody can broadcast themselves. Anybody can put themselves out there. Everybody can become a star, a celebrity, at least in their niche at any given time. So if you knew that you were being followed by a camera, if you knew everybody was going to know about everything that you were doing right now, how would you do things differently? How would you show up differently to your work? Would you show up at all to your work now that you know you're being watched and you know that everybody knows the situation? See, this idea you can apply to everything in your life. If this works for you, if you're the type of person who that social validation or that social interaction, whether it be positive or negative, can move you to action, then start conducting yourself in this way. All right, you're being watched by a camera. What if you're just being watched by a camera and that video is going to get shown to your kids, your grandkids, and your great-grandkids as an example of what you did to put the family in the position that they're in right now? And everyone, every generation that follows you is going to watch that video as an example of this is the way that it's done. All right, what kind of example would you be setting? If people, let's say there was a hidden camera on you for the last 24 hours. Let's not talk about from now on. Let's talk about the last 24 hours before today. What kind of example have you set? What kind of example would your kids be following? And your great-grandkids and your kids are not even born yet, later generations. What example did you set with your actions, your disciplines or lack thereof over the last 24 hours? What if somebody was watching? Think about that as we recap today's topic, which is how to do stuff that you really don't want to do. Now, I told you a story about how I made a dog start walking on a leash. Then that dog really didn't want to walk on a leash. And today's topic is not about making somebody else do something or someone else making us do something. It's about making ourselves do things. When we have the same resistance that that dog had to the leash, that same resistance, though, is coming from within ourselves. And we have that resistance to ourselves much more often than anyone else has that resistance to us. Point number one, just don't do it. The thing that you're trying to force yourself to do, just don't do it. Maybe you don't need to be doing this thing. If you 80-20 your life or that circumstance or that area, maybe it doesn't even matter. Perhaps that thing could be delegated or outsourced. Maybe it's not even contributing to your results in any meaningful way. You could just get rid of it. Not wanting to do that thing may be telling you something. Maybe just having more discipline is not what you need all the time in life, even though I talk about discipline every single day on this show. That doesn't mean you need to be disciplined in everything. Sometimes you need to be disciplined in getting rid of stuff because you can't do everything. Point number two, just start with 5 to 10% of the task, no more. See, it's often not the task itself that we dread. It's the thought of doing the thing that we dread, and that's what leads to the resistance. So, and our minds will give us more and more reasons why we're right no matter what we think. So just start by doing 5 to 10% of the thing. So if you don't want to go to the gym, just lay out your clothes the night before. That's 5 to 10%. And you're probably going to find yourself in the gym the next morning. If you don't want to record videos, just bring your tripod and your mic and your selfie stick or whatever you need to make your videos. Just set all that stuff up or bring it with you if you're traveling. And you'll probably find a reason to use it while you're out or about or wherever you are, just because you have the stuff with you. Just 5 to 10%. That's all I want you to do. And if that doesn't work, keep doing that 5 to 10%, then increase it another 5% every time until you're damn near doing the whole thing. All right, so you don't have to win this whole thing in one shot. It's a little bit at a time. That's what discipline is about. Doesn't mean you become just made go from 0 to 100 in one day. It's going from 0 to 100 eventually and staying there once you get there. And the third thing, imagine there's a camera following your life and everybody knows the circumstance. Everybody knows what you said you were going to do, what you're supposed to do, and they are going to be watching if you don't show up, if you don't follow your commitment, if you don't do what you said you would. I guarantee for many people, that's going to change things very quickly. Because while we are quick to quit on ourselves, we are loath to make ourselves look bad in front of an audience. We'll make ourselves look bad in the mirror because we don't care. It's just us. All right, nobody else knows about it. But if we know somebody's watching, even 10 people were watching, let alone 10 million, our actions change. Our commitments change. The way that we show up changes. The way we conduct ourselves changes because we know we're being watched. And especially these days, with all the media we have, you know, people can just go online and talk about you after what happened. You're not going to allow yourself to not show up. And for some people, this will work. Even outside of that, if you don't care about the general public's opinion, what about if your family, the next generations that follow you, were watching a video of you as an example of how to conduct themselves, as an example of how to do things right? What kind of example have you set over the previous 24 hours? And what example do you plan on setting over the next 24? Now, let's talk about what's going on in the game group. Those of you who are not yet members of the game group, listen. It's the disciplines that lead to the strategies that lead to the results. So understand, even if you feel like you're good, quote unquote good, in all those areas, you're also getting the full archive library of the Work on Your Game podcast. You're getting every audio course that I put out is open to game group members at no additional charge. You have the game group forum where any questions, comments, concerns, challenges you have about yourself, your life, your sport, your business, you can post in the forum and you will get a detailed answer from me and or anyone else in within the forum. You're going to get a detailed answer from me anyway. And you may also get answers from other people who are in the forum. But even if you just get it from me, it'll be good. Trust me. That's what's going on in the game group. That membership, $190 a year, that's 52 cents a day for your access. If all you got was just a new episode of this podcast every single day, in my opinion, is worth it. But I mean, it's my material, so maybe I'm biased, but you can let me know. That's all in the game group. The link to the game group information is dreallday.com/game group. That's new material, all of my best content, all of my core audio courses that are coming out, all of these podcast episodes, every single day, full archive of the Work on Your Game podcast, which is over 1,100 episodes. That's over 500. It's probably more than 500. It's way more than 500. It's got to be around 700-800 hours of content that's in there right now. If you like this episode of the podcast, imagine if we multiplied this by 1,000, literally 1,000. All right, that's not an exaggeration. That's what's going on in the game group. That sounds good to you. Get in the membership right now. Post in the forum, introduce yourself. I want to hear from you. That's what's happening. That's where we at. I'll see you tomorrow. Work on your game. DreAllDay.com. You just listened to an entire episode of my podcast. If you've been getting value from this podcast, the 1,000+ episodes that I've been putting out, or this is just your first one, please go to Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave a review of my show. It helps me out. It helps the audience out so they know what kind of show this is before they listen to it, if they want to kind of get a taste for it before they commit to listening. And it lets me know that I'm giving value to you every single day on this podcast. So anywhere you can leave a review, please go leave a review. Thank you. I appreciate it a lot. I'll see you in tomorrow's episode. Work on your game.